Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Jai Jai Prabhupad, 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 Jai Prabhupad. जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सहस्त्री श्रीमद अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सहस्त्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय गौर प्रेमानंदे. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 7 టైటిల్ ద సన్ ఆఫ్ ద్రోణపనిష్ట్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 12. పరీక్షితో అథ రాజర్షేర్ జన్మ కర్మ విలాపనం సంస్థాం చ పాండుపుత్రానాం వక్షే కృష్ణ కథోదయం. పరీక్షితోథ రాజర్షేర్ జన్మ కర్మ విలాపనం సంస్థాం చ పాండుపుత్రానాం వక్షే కృష్ణ కథోదయం. పరీక్షితోథ రాజర్షేర్ జన్మ కర్మ విలాపనం సంస్థాం చ పాండుపుత్రానాం వక్షే కృష్ణ కథోదయం. పరీక్షితో రాజర్షే కర్మ విలాపనం సంస్థాం చ పాండుపుత్రానాం. మాతాజీస్ పరీక్షిత ఆఫ్ కింగ్ పరీక్షిత్ అథ దస్ రాజర్షే ఆఫ్ ద కింగ్ హూ వాజ్ ద రిషి అమంగ్ ద కింగ్స్. జన్మ బర్త్ కర్మ యాక్టివిటీస్ విలాపనం డెలివరెన్స్ సంస్థాం రినౌన్సియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్ చ and Pandu Putranam of the sons of Pandu. Vakche, I shall speak. Krishna Katha Udayam, that which gives rise to the transcendental narration of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Suta Goswami thus addressed the rishis headed by Sonaka. Now I shall begin the transcendental narration of the Lord Sri Krishna and topics of the birth, activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage amongst kings, as well as topics of the renunciation of worldly order by the sons of Pandus. Purport. Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and takes part with them in daily activities. Any historical fact, old or new, which has a connection with the activities of the Lord is to be understood as a transcendental narration of the Lord. Without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like the Puranas and Mahabharatas are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna they become transcendental, and when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam is also a Purana, but the special significance of this Purana is that the activities of the Lord are central and not just supplementary historical facts. Srimad Bhagavatam is thus recommended by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the spotless Purana. There is a class of less intelligent devotees of the Bhagavat Purana who desire to realize at once the activities of the Lord narrated in the 10th canto without first understanding the primary cantos.
they are under the false impressions that the other cantos are not concerned with Krishna, and thus more foolishly they take to the reading of the 10th canto. These readers are specifically told herein that the other cantos of the Bhagavatam are as important as the 10th canto. No one should try to go into the matters of the 10th canto without having thoroughly understood the purport of the other 9 cantos. Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas, and the pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are not without Krishna. The devotees and the Lord are interlinked, and they cannot be separated. Therefore, talks about them are all Krishna Katha, or topics of the Lord. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakchurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Savdvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you everyone for giving me this opportunity to discuss this verse of Bhagavatam. I seek permission from all the devotees so that I can speak something properly for the benefit of everyone. So here in purport, Prabhupada is saying that Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen souls that he personally incarnates himself amongst the different kinds of living entities and take part with them in their daily and takes part with them in daily activities. So Krishna incarnates in so many different types of incarnation, different forms, not only in human form. In different animal kingdom, different species, he takes such incarnation. The purpose is that the living entity can get attracted to him. Those living entities who have been distracted from the spiritual world, those who have come to this material world and trying to enjoy themselves, they are actually not able to enjoy properly. They are suffering in the name of enjoyment. What the enjoyment comes is very limited, and the miseries which are behind all these enjoyments are unlimited. If something wrong happens, enjoyment is discarded and only remains what? The suffering remains. So there is very calculative step which living entity performs in this material world to enjoy himself. But enjoyment is not so easily available, even those so-called sense enjoyments. And there he is bound to suffer. And in ultimate sense, he suffers because he is not relating himself with Krishna. He is not, the part and parcel is not properly situated. That's why he is not able to function properly. This is the merciful nature of Krishna, that he allows himself to, that he comes in different incarnations so that the living entity can get attracted to him. A living entity who is in this material world, if he is not with Krishna, it is not that Krishna is going to be in harm of something. He is Atmaram, he is always self-satisfied. But he wants living entities to be with him so that the living entity can enjoy. And it is not that Krishna doesn't enjoy. Krishna likes that his part and parcels always remains him, but he never forces himself. So this is the merciful nature of Krishna. One who has everything, if he loses something, or especially when it doesn't affect his stock, then that person doesn't get affected by that losing of something what he was having. And here we see that living entities are innumerable, infinite. So if some living entity is not there with Krishna, it doesn't affect him. But Krishna loves living entities so much that it affects. He always try that the living entity comes to him. He try that this living entity turns toward him so that they can be properly situated and they can be satisfied, they can be happy. So out of his merciful nature, he takes all these incarnations so that these living entity who are just attached with their conceptions of life can get attracted with him. Like, and he never forces someone to love him, Krishna, because he wants to love, and love is never forced. But Krishna knows that loving him is the best solution for the suffering of the living entities. Then he can be really happy. So he devised various plans, various methods so that we can get attracted, the living entity can get attracted. And for this purpose he sends his representative, he gives literatures, scriptures which reveals about the nature of the Absolute Truth, which reveals about the personality of Krishna, so that we can come to the understanding who he is. He incarnates in various species to attract us. It is not that it is his natural position to be in that species. Although transcendentally he is also in spiritual and different species like Matsya Avatar, Kurma Avatar, he is there. But it is not required for the living entity to, for living entities, that these incarnations are required. It is like example of father who is playing with his children, a small child. So sometime he plays the role of play horse, where the children rides on the father of the back of the father, and they enjoy it. By this, what happens, that child gets attracted and attached to his father, and this increases the loving relationship between father and child. So similarly, Krishna comes in different various incarnations just so that these living entity can get hooked to Krishna, his activities. So these leelas are, these incarnations are meant to attract the living entities. But there are some people, or most of the people, who even after seeing these activities of the Lord, they consider him to be as an ordinary human being or just some other ordinary living entity with some extraordinary power. And they are not able to accept the Lord as the Lord is, as Lord Krishna says. Tattvatah, in Bhagavad Gita he says, anyone who knows my birth and activities as they are, they can, after leaving the body, they can come back to me. So Vidura is saying, in Uddhavji, he is saying in Srimad Bhagavatam, He is saying about the fortune or misfortune of Dwarka, the resident of Dwarka or the associate of the Lord, that Durbhago Bata Loko Ayam Yadavo Nitaram Api Ye Sam Santo Na Vidur Hari Meena Ivodupa. That Lord came here and he performed the activities as relatives of Yadavas. But these Yadavas, they are not knowing, they didn't know that, they came to know that who he is. They just consider him themselves to be his relative. Now, Vidur Hari, they were not knowing the glories of the Lord. As Meena Ivodupam, as we see in the example of churning of the ocean, milk ocean, that one of the thing which came out of the churning of the ocean was moon. So before, moon was also in the that milk ocean, and the fishes or the aquatics there, they were considering that moon to be one amongst themselves or just some little extraordinary. But when the moon came out from that place, then it was distinguished that it is not just some other aquatics. So similarly, people in this material world or people in general, they, when they see Lord or Lord's activities, they are not able to fully appreciate it due to their different conditionings are there. But devotee laments for people in general and for him that he missed the opportunity to associate with the Lord. It is not that Yadavas are misfortunate, but here, out of separation from the Lord, he is discussing like that. And even the Yadavas may be thinking like that only. So it is the intense separation from the Lord that they feel that they have missed the opportunity to associate with the Lord. But for people in general, they actually miss it. And especially those who are not favorable to devotional service, like Krishna when performed his activity, he showed his Virat Rup to Duryodhan also. But Duryodhan felt that he is some magician who is performing this extraordinary trick. And so he tried to catch Krishna. He tried to bind Krishna with ropes, but he was unsuccessful. So these are the position of this, the people that who see Krishna, his pastime, but they are not able to relate with him. They are not able to know completely who he is. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, avajananti maam mudha manusim tanum asritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheswaram. So living entities, they are not, since they are averse to devotional service, they are not able to come to this conclusion that who he is, or he has not thoroughly purified to understand these topics. So for this purpose, Krishna sends his literatures, his devotees, who make aware, the living entity make aware to living entity about his position, who he is, why he is suffering in this material world. Otherwise, the living entity will keep on suffering in this material world, and he will not come out because he doesn't know what is the real nature of this material world. He may come to the, by different logic and reasoning, he may come to the conclusion that this place is not fit place for me, but what is the solution? What is the higher thing? Then comes the representative of the Lord, the scriptures which is given by the Lord, which gives him further direction to go ahead in this direction so that he can get benefit. Here Prabhupada is writing that without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like Puranas and Mahabharata are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And we have, when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. So when the same activity which we are performing, when we relate it with Krishna, then it becomes transcendental. Otherwise, by the nature itself, all the activities are material because we are performing this activity with our material senses and material objects we are dealing with. So what is the difference between material objects and spiritual objects? Mainly that the consciousness which we are utilizing these objects. So act of eating food, what we eat, if we simply offer this food before eating to Krishna, it becomes sanctified, it becomes transcendental. So food is same vegetarian food. If one is eating, if it is not offered to Krishna, it is material. Prabhupada said that just becoming vegetarian is not sufficient. Even monkeys are vegetarian, but that doesn't make them Krishna conscious. So to make ourselves transcendental, we try to engage ourselves, our activities in Krishna service. In devotional service, whatever instruments we use and whatever objects we use are the same which we use to gratify our senses. But when these same instrument and objects are directed toward Krishna, it becomes transcendental. So now we have diverted or redirected or realigned these things toward Krishna, then that's why it becomes transcendental. Same matchbox, it can be used to light up the stove, or also it can used to light up the whole house on fire. So same matchbox, same matchstick can be used for different purpose. Same knife can be used for different purpose in the hand of surgeon or in the hand of a thief or dacoit. He can use it differently. So we have to keep ourselves endeavoring properly. We see hackers are there. So normally hacking in software or computer, they hack different things. But there are ethical hackers also. They are not punished. They hack for different purpose. Their purpose is to help, to upgrade the system, to upgrade or to help the government. So they are called ethical hackers. They are also doing the same activity, but this is to help others. And we have to keep ourselves endeavoring to engage ourselves in Krishna conscious activity. It is not that just by thinking we are able to engage. We have to keep endeavor. We have to struggle. Why? Because since time immemorial, we are conditioned to use these instruments in a different way. So they are accustomed, they are programmed to work in a certain direction. As soon as some inputs are given, it always defines its path. That how the program will follow. The sense objects come, then senses are immediately, mind activates it to gratify it. So to deactivate this program, the endeavor is required. When we get the knowledge, the endeavor part is ours, that we have to endeavor it. Ultimately, when we go to spiritual world or when the living entity reaches spiritual world, then there is no such endeavor that he has to put his effort and he has endeavored hard to resist his senses. No, that time he has purified senses. He doesn't have to endeavor. But here in this material world, the living entity has to endeavor himself against the current of this material world, where he has always resist the temptation, the urges of the body, the mind. And thereafter, he has to put his endeavor to resist all these things. Always we have to resist temptation of the mind. And resistance is an exhausting endeavor. It is not that we have infinite resistance to resist all this temptation. It is an exhausting endeavor. So this exhausting endeavor, this resistance will not kill you, but it will simply tear us down. It will simply wear us down. Where one leaves the process, where one chooses to leave this thing, and one doesn't quit on the first day, when after struggling for so many long days, so much of a long endeavor, long duration of time, and he's becoming weak and weak and weak, and then finally he gives up. Why? Because he's not properly situated. In the example of Gaj and Gra, the crocodile and the elephant, those who were fighting. So they were fighting, and the fight continued for 1,000 celestial years. Initially, the elephant was very strong, but gradually his power decreased. Why? Because he was not situated in his proper position. He was in water fighting with crocodile, and gradually the power of crocodile increased because he was properly situated. So we have to choose our battlefield, there where we can fight properly, where we have more strength, where we can rejuvenate fast. So this is very important, to resist, and how to resist the urges properly. So I was with some devotee. So if Suppose someone is in some situation there, he is fighting in the same condition is every day. So what happens that the person, when he becomes alone, then it becomes very much tiring. Even if it is not very much physically tiring, but mentally it becomes tiring to fight the same situation or same different suffering is there. Suppose someone is suffering in the family, someone is hospitalized. So what happens? Person is trying to, first day it is okay, second day it is okay, but if it goes too long, then it becomes emotionally very much tiring and people feel that, oh, I am exhausted. Although physically the person is not exhausted, but mentally he is very much fighting. Then it requires a support system where he can situate himself properly. So if the support system is there, then it becomes easy. So in devotional service, in devotional sangha, this support system keeps us very much enthusiastic in devotional service. It helps us to always rejuvenate. And Krishna is also pleased when we try to assist someone who is fighting this battle. And for sure, every one of us is fighting this battle. So every one of us needs support of each other. That's why the Sangha is so much important, and especially in this age of Kali Yuga, where we can't fight the opposite forces of this material nature on our own. This is very difficult. So best way to do it by associating with Krishna, with his devotees, by chanting his holy names, association, taking shelter of devotional service, all these things help us to rejuvenate, to reinstate ourselves or recharge ourselves, so that the resistance exerting in fighting with this material nature will keep recharging this power, and so that we can fight it. And we should not try to fight the battle alone. If we are trying to fight the battle alone, it will be very difficult. All the in-between situations will come where we will be alone. But that should be a temporary phase. That should be not a permanent phase, that we are trying to fight the battle on our own. But when we are in group, like when the soldier go in the battlefield, they are not just alone fighting. Although the situation may arise for them that they have to fight sometime alone, they are opposed, they may be confronting the enemies alone, but this should not be the situation all the time. When all the troops, your co-troops are there, you feel enthusiastic to fight this battle. All the battles are fight like this, that only. Although individually one has to get his strength from within, but he has to put his endeavor, but while remaining with others, it becomes easy. A devotee who has performed devotional service sincerely, at the time of death, it may feel that he has lost everything, but he has required a satisfaction of performing devotional service. Everyone has to leave this body, and the leaving of this body is a painful process, because this is material. This body is designed like that it will give pain, no matter how. So it will give that pain, but the devotee is satisfied. Why? Because he has utilized his body in performing devotional service for the right cause. He has knowledge that he has used it properly in the service of Krishna. A soldier may also die in the battlefield, but if he has performed his duty properly, then he is also having satisfaction that he performed his activities for the protection of his land, for protection of his country. He fought for a proper cause. That's why it is said that in Dharma Yuddha, if anyone dies, even the enemy soldier dies, he will also achieve higher destination, because he was fighting with a proper consciousness, that for a higher cause, not just for his own sake. So that gives him a higher destination. Similarly, a devotee also gets a higher destination. Why? Because he is relating everything. He is utilizing his all instruments for the satisfaction of Krishna, that he has engaged his life in the service of Krishna. And when our activities are related to Krishna, it becomes transcendental. Prabhupada is saying here that without Krishna, all the supplementary literatures like Mahabharata and Puranas are simply stories or historical facts. But with Krishna, they become transcendental. And when we hear of them, we at once become transcendentally related with the Lord. So this is the nature, that when we divert our attention, we engage our activities towards Krishna, it becomes transcendental. Although all the stories, if you remove from Mahabharata and Purana, the Krishna factor, it is just simply historical facts. It doesn't elevate our consciousness. Or it may elevate our consciousness, but it will not elevate to a spiritual platform. Materially, it may elevate. There are different moral stories also, which we also used to hear, or we used to read in our school days. But they are just simply moral stories if they are not related to Krishna. They will elevate our consciousness, but elevate our consciousness in material sense. We will perform our material activities better. But that will not give us ultimate benefit of going back home, back to Godhead, where all the miseries will end. So if we want to end all our miseries, then we have to relate ourselves, our activities with Krishna. And so these literatures, like Mahabharata and Puranas, they are not simply a story. Why? Because they are related with Krishna. And Prabhupada is writing at last that Krishna and his pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. Krishna is not without his devotees of all the rasas, and the pure devotees, like the Pandavas, are not without Krishna. So there, the verse says that Krishna kathodayam. So the activities which are being described here, the activities of the Pandavas, the Parikshit Maharaj. So if anyone discusses the activities of these devotees, these personalities, they will immediately relate it with Krishna, because these stories give rise to katha of Krishna. Krishna kathodayam udit hota hai, katha, jaise, like the sun arises in the horizon of the east, similarly the Krishna katha arises from the discussion of these devotees, because the center of the life of these devotees are around Krishna. They perform their activities for the satisfaction of Krishna. Whichever the pages we turn from Bhagavatam, these personalities, all the Bhagavatam, we see that different stories of different devotees are there, and ultimately it is related with activities of Krishna. And Prabhupada is writing that people directly jump to the 10th canto, where the pure Krishna katha, or Krishna is performing his pastime, whatever pastime in Vrindavan, Dwarka, these are discussed. So people try to jump there without undergoing the study of the previous cantos. For a preliminary idea, one can get to 10 canto, but that is not an ideal way. Prabhupada also gave Krishna book when all the Bhagavatam were not released, so that the people can get an idea who Krishna is, what his activities are. But that is not for the detailed reading of our into going into the detail of the 10th canto. That is just for getting a preliminary idea for those who are unaware of Krishna's activities. For them, it is advised to at least get some knowledge, but otherwise it is not advised. A student cannot go directly to the 10th class without going any classes before, like 1st, 2nd, 3rd standard, 4th standard. He can't jump to the 10th standard and give board exam. Then he will fail, miserably fail, if you take the example of 10th canto. So similarly, anyone who takes directly to the 10th canto, he will fail miserably. So a student can come to know by seeing the book that, oh, 10th standard books, these things are there, I'm not able to understand. But that much understanding he will get. But to understand the subject matter of 10th standard, he has to first go through all the previous standards. Similarly, a person who is trying to understand, who wants to know the 10th canto properly, he also has to go through all the previous cantos. Otherwise, he will not be able to release this 10th canto properly. Prabhupada is writing that Srimad Bhagavatam is thus recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the spotless Puran. There is a class of less intelligent devotees of the Bhagavat Puran who desire to release at once the activities of the Lord narrated in the 10th canto without first understanding the primary cantos. So Prabhupada is saying that they are under the false impression that that the other cantos are not concerned with Krishna, and thus more foolishly than intelligently they take to the reading of 10th canto. When we read the previous cantos, we come to the understanding that who Krishna is, how great he is. By directly reading 10th canto, we may not get that understanding because we are not situated on that platform. We are situated in a platform where we appreciate the worldly big things. So if we see the creation of this world, this material nature, how it takes place, it mesmerizes us if we sincerely go through it. Just as when someone sees a very sci-fi movie, one is mesmerized to see the effects or the 3D effects, what the animation people are doing. It completely captures our mind. So if someone has that imagination, with proper imagination, and read that book and imagine that thing in his mind, that how this manifests, this creation is taking place, it will mesmerize him. Mesmerize about the potency of the Lord, how he creates this material world, how he annihilates, how his energies are doing all the activities. And he doesn't have to personally do all these activities. That is also one thing. That not that Lord has to personally go and interfere in each and activity of material nature. His energies are able to do all the works. And this glorifies Krishna all the more. That he is such a big personality that he is situated in his own transcendental abode, and his different incarnations and the energies, they are performing all these activities. He doesn't have to do personally any activity, although he is capable to doing all these activities. So by reading this previous canto, we come to the understanding who Krishna is. Otherwise, when we go to the 10th canto, we will not be able to understand it properly. Example is given of Winston Churchill. When someone went to meet him, so the guest was asked to wait for 10 minutes. He was waiting for 10 minutes. So after 10 minutes, he was not able to meet. So he thought, why it is becoming late? And after half an hour, he opened the door and he saw that this big personality, he was becoming a play horse for his grandson, and his grandson was riding on his back. So if some ordinary person, without having any understanding of that great personality, just see that person, what the conclusion he will make? That he is just a simple ordinary person, he is playing with his child, but he will not know that he is the same great person who is controlling or who is in charge of this big country. And this big country is almost controlling all the country. So in that sense, the person who just try to see the inner activity of the Lord without knowing his outer effects, how he acts outwardly, how his controllership is there exercised on different things, then he will not be able to appreciate the inner activities of the Lord. So Prabhupada is advising here that we should also first go through all the preliminary cantos so that we can come to the understanding who Krishna is, how his energies are working. And in all these cantos, the activities of his devotees are discussed, which give arise to activities of Krishna, which give arise to the narrations of Krishna, which are related to Krishna, because they are always engaged in the service of Krishna. They always try to please Krishna through their activities. So this is the sum and substance of this verse, which I thought I will discuss today. So first we discussed from the purport that Krishna is so kind that he, to attract the fallen souls, he incarnates in different species, so that perform activities, daily activities with the living entities, so that they can get attracted. Secondly, without Krishna, all these supplementary literatures, Puranas and Mahabharata, they are just like historical facts. But when these literatures and our activities are related with Krishna, it becomes transcendental. And third, Krishna and his pure devotees are like the Pandavas, are on the same plane. They are not different. So when we discuss the story of devotees, it gives rise to the story of Krishna. And to know this, the story of Krishna, we should go through all the preliminary cantos of Bhagavatam, where we can come to the understanding who Krishna is, how he is great. He is great, but how he is great, we can come to the understanding through all these previous cantos. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Any question or comments?
Kesh was waiting for Winston Churchill and that guest was waiting for Winston Churchill and then he was given a time of 10 minutes and then when he the door was open after half an hour
he opened the door and he saw that these activities were going on
which was normal but then you said actually that same Prime Minister is controlling the whole country and that country is controlling the whole world. So, but Krishna is controlling all the universes and we don't have even knowledge about all the universes. So, how can we study Krishna's that activity?
So that's why Prabhupada is writing that all the previous cantos from first canto to ninth canto,
okay.
They are describing about these activities of the Lord, which we can come to the understanding that how his energies are working, how Krishna is great. He is great, but how he is great, we come to the understanding through all these previous cantos. And then we can release 10th canto properly. Then we know that who Krishna is. He is not some simple person who is performing activity just like any other householders or any other person performing some heroic acts. He is simply extraordinary. But to come to that conclusion, we have to go through all the previous cantos.
Oh, I'll be very frank. I have a sweet and person mart in my area. I gave first canto to the person working over there. And he read the first 6 chapter and now he is performing devotee very nicely. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premande.